Welcome to the Turning Point Community Church Change Your World podcast with lead pastor John Wagner. Turning Point strives to bring fresh insight and powerful truths from God's unchanging word. Now, here's John with today's message.
Psalm 103. This is how I start, I'd say 4 out of every 5 days. I start with Psalm 103. Those of you who've been around for a while, you hear me tell the story that I get up every morning and get the dogs, and we go for a walk, and I pray during that. You know, the four of us go for a walk, me, Teddy, Cooper, and Jesus, right? We go for a walk, but literally every morning, I pretty much don't make it off the driveway without saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. That's how I start. And I don't do that like as some sort of like OCD good luck thing. You know, I'm not doing that so that if I say this, my day will go okay. That's not what I'm doing. You know why I say that? Because my days have been okay. My days have been blessed. God has been excruciatingly good to me. And so out of a heart that says, man, I want to bless the Lord. That's why I do it every morning. And so as we take a look at this, this is like the Psalm of Psalms. And if the Psalms were a mountain range, well, Psalm 103 is like Rainier or Pike's Peak or maybe even Everest. Again, I recite the first three verses, so I've been meditating on this for months now. We're going to focus today really on just the first two verses of the psalm, but I think it would be a shame just to read the first two verses or even the first three verses of this psalm. So here's what I want to do this morning. If you would, take your Bible and stand with me. Let's stand. Everybody take your Bible and stand. Now, if you don't have a Bible with you, you can look on with somebody else. If you don't have a New King James Version, it'll be projected, so you can follow along up there as well. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to read it aloud together, the entire psalm, Psalm 103, which is a psalm of David. Ready? Let's read it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. Its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Now give 5 people around you a fist bump and be seated. Go ahead. Come on, 5 people. Man, you read that awesome. You did. David writes this psalm, almost everyone agrees, in his old age. So he writes it after he's learned a thing or two. But it is the first time that David uses this phrase, bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's the first time that it actually appears in the Bible. David writes Psalm 101 through 104 all at the same time. So it first appears in 103, it appears again in 104, but in those two psalms, this phrase, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," appears five times. Five times. How many of you know nothing in the Bible is insignificant, right? Nothing is just a mistake. Nothing is a coincidence. It's there five times. Who knows what the number five stands for in the Bible? Cricket, cricket, cricket. Bueller? Bueller? No, listen, listen. Five in your Bible is the number of grace. Yeah, there's five Levitical offerings. There, Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children with five fish and two loaves. When Joseph is graciously united with his brothers and he sees his little brother Benjamin, the Bible says that Joseph gives Benjamin five times more spaghetti and meatballs than all of his other brothers. It's a loose translation, but that's what happens. Five is the number of grace. And so, when we take a look at Psalm 103, Psalm 103 is a psalm of grace. It's a psalm of God's unearned favor. It's a psalm of God's unmerited blessing. So the promises of this psalm are not based on your goodness, they're based on God's goodness. And what a way to start. Twice declaring, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." And that's kind of funny when you first read it. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. How do you do that? How do you bless the Lord? I thought the Lord blessed us. And if you did, you'd be correct. But bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. In Hebrew, it's Baruch Adonai. Baruch Adonai. Baruch means to kneel and mingle praise with thanksgiving. Adonai was the name that the Israelites gave to God because they didn't want to say his sacred name. What actually appears there is a four-letter word, Yod, He, Vav, He. It's called the Tetragrammaton. It's where we get the name Yahweh, Yahweh. But the Hebrews didn't want to say Yahweh. They thought that was the unutterable name of God. They wanted to reverence God that way. And so that was the name that was too sacred to say. So instead, every time you see Yod, He, Vav, He in your Bible, they would say Adonai, which is a beautiful way. It's a name of intimacy. The Amplified Bible there says that to bless is to affectionately and gratefully praise. What exactly actually said there in the phrase is Baruch Nafesh Adonai, which would be bless my soul, the Lord, and then Kereb Shem Kodesh, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, here's something that's kind of cool, because in between the words in Hebrew, my soul and Adonai, or my soul and Yahweh, in between there's this untranslatable direct object. Between the words my soul and Yahweh in the ancient Hebrew are two Hebrew letters put together, the Aleph and the Tav. And that is the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The first and the last. So between my soul and the Lord is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, which is, by the way, the fingerprint of Jesus on almost every single page of your Old Testament. Yeah, we could translate it, then we could say it like this: bless the Lord, my soul, Jesus, who is Yahweh. It's amazing, it's mysterious. I've done a whole teaching on it before. Beautiful, but it's also prophetic. I think the first thing that we should note is the psalmist David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the worshiping and dancing king of Israel, the progenitor of Jesus, right? Jesus would first be called the son of David. As he is being inspired, as God is breathing through him by the Holy Spirit, did you notice that David begins to talk to himself? This psalm is David talking to David. Now, let me just tell you real quickly, this is not the only place where David talks to himself. How many of you know it's okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't answer back, right? Right? Because there's medication for that. But anyway, David talks to himself in lots of different places in the scripture. Maybe one of the most famous places is actually Psalm 42 and verse 5, where David says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." By the way, that is a great verse to memorize when you're going through stuff. So David's not even the only one who in Scripture engages in what we're going to call self-talk. We know that the judge of Israel, Deborah, the first female judge of Israel, as she leads Israel into battle, in the midst of the battle, Deborah says something in Judges 5. She says, "My soul, march on in strength." Why don't you say that with me today? Ready? "My soul, march on in strength." And by the way, if you are going through something right now, listen to me carefully. If you're going through it, number one, this message is for you. But number two, if you're going through it, it's not a sign that you're weak. It's actually a sign that you're being made strong. It's a sign that you're being made stronger on the inside. Listen to me carefully. The Bible says affliction is working for you, not against you. It feels like it's working against you, but it's not working against you. It's actually working for you. Adversity, my family, is the breakfast of champions, right? The fire is refining you. This is the gospel according to Clint Eastwood. Go ahead, make my day, right? You're stronger not because you're not going through anything, but because you are. And Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just jot that down. He tells us that in the midst of battle, when you're facing adversity, when you're hard-pressed on every side, when you're perplexed, when you're persecuted, he says, listen, this is what is imperative. It is imperative to have a spirit of faith. And then he tells us, here's what a spirit of faith is. It is believing and speaking. Say that with me today. Believing and speaking. Say it again. It's believing and speaking. And you believe and speak not according to what you're feeling, not according to your circumstances, not according to popular opinion, not according to cultural norms, but you believe and speak according to what is written. Now, with that being said, some of the most powerful words we will ever utter are words no one else will ever hear. They are the words that we speak to ourselves. In Psalm 103, David is talking to himself. A soul with a soul, with all his soul, is talking to his soul. He is lecturing within the confines of his own heart. And we all do. We all do. Everyone practices self-talk. Everyone. Now, few of us ever take the time to think about the things that we actually do say to ourselves. We don't consider that if what we're telling ourselves is actually true. And amazingly enough, much of what we tell ourselves is false. It's based on lies. And they are lies that can actually hinder or even prevent us from experiencing all of the things that God's grace affords us. All the benefits that were listed, for instance, in the psalm. So self-talk, soul talk is powerful. The words that we say to ourselves, they go right to the core of our being. They lodge, they get rooted in the soil of our hearts. They shape the way that we think about ourselves. They influence our emotions, our thoughts, our decisions. So here's the first question today. What are you saying to yourself? Are you badgering yourself? Self-nagging? Are you devaluing yourself? Are you saying cutting words to yourself? Is there a steady stream of put-downs and self-condemnation? Are you repeating those lies? Are you adopting those falsehoods? Because listen, my family, that stuff, if that's the way you talk to yourself, can I just tell you something? That is a steady trickle of poison. That stuff has an unseen undertow that is corrosive. But here's the good news. Even if that's what you've been pre-programmed to do for years, even if that's been your learned behavior, even if that is the voice in your head, even after all those years of being underneath the weight of that struggle, let me tell you right now, you can start today and you can deconstruct all that and reconstruct it real healthy. You can tear that down and you can rebuild. You can unlearn and then relearn to speak to your soul according to truth. So again, here's the question. What are you saying to yourself? What are you saying to your soul? Because maybe it's time to speak differently. Deborah did. David did. And again, not just in Psalm 103. In Psalm 57, he said, "Awake, my soul. Awake, my soul." Again, in Psalm 116, he said, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." You know, there's a great story in 1 Samuel near the end of the book where David makes this temporary alliance. He takes his mighty men and he makes an alliance with the Philistines. It's the only place in the Bible where this happens, and it's temporary, but he takes his mighty men, and how many of you know David's mighty men were no joke? You remember those guys on the Capital One credit card commercial who used to just come in and just wreck everything? That's David's mighty men. Yeah, they all have a past. They're all ambidextrous. They're like the ambidextrous ex-cons, right? They are a motley crew of men. They're mighty. They're unbelievable. You know, they're no joke. And David takes them and allies them with his enemies. They're all part of the same team now for a little while. And after a victory, the Philistines say to their king, "We can't keep those guys. Those guys are our enemies, and their leader is our ultimate enemy, David." David's the one that the ladies used to sing about. "Saul has slain his thousands. David is 10,000s. He can't be a part of our team. He's got to go." And so they do. They leave. The Israelites leave. David and his mighty men leave. But as they leave and as they go home, their home was in a place called Ziklag, and 3 days' journey. And when they finally see their home, another enemy has come in. The Amalekites have come. And the Amalekites have burnt Ziklag to the ground. All they see is the smoke rising in the air. Their wives and their children have been taken captive. These men now have nothing. These men who allowed their leader to make them allies of an enemy have now nothing. And the Bible says in that moment, instead of them wanting to fight for David or to fight with David, they want to fight against David. They turn on him. They all begin to get stones and talk about stoning David right there on the spot. How many of you know that's going to be a defining moment for him? How is he going to respond to that? You know how David responds to that? He says this. Check this out. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Say it with me. Ready? "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." It's great to have people who are around you who will encourage you. It's wonderful to be encouraged and to be an encourager. All that's great and good. But if there's nobody around you, if the people around you are picking up stones, you can still encourage yourself in the Lord. And so that's what he does. "Dial in, oh my soul. Look up, oh my soul." Sometimes we have to say, "Calm ye down, oh my soul. Chill, oh my soul. Press on, oh my soul. Be lifted up, oh my soul. Be encouraged, be affirmed, be full of hope, be full of faith, be full of love, be at peace, be healed, be whole, oh my soul." Amen. My family, can I just say this to you? No more calling yourself names. No, put an end to it. "Oh, dummy. You're such an idiot. Oh, you're so..." Cut it out. Stop that. No more labeling yourself with negativity. It's time to label those labels with nothing short of the truth of who you are and the truth of whose you are. When anyone else labels you, how many of you know it doesn't define you? Even when you label yourself, that does not define you. Only God defines you. And guess what he says about you? He says you have the mind of Christ. God says you're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. He says that you're not the old person you used to be. You're a new creation in Christ. You're the temple of the living God. You're a body filled and flooded with God himself. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But you are complete in him. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. His words about you are gracious. His words about you are merciful. His words about you are powerful. They are authoritative. His words about you are transformative. And probably above all, his words about you are true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So stop condemning yourself. Stop beating yourself up. Stop speaking harsh words about yourself. No more unkind words about yourself. No more self-defeating and self-doubting words. No more grave-digging words. No more wimpy words. No more fearful words. Why? Because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You might remember the story. It's a story that we like to reference here a lot in the Gospels, where there was the woman with the issue of blood who had been bleeding, uterine bleeding, for 12 years. She'd been to the doctor. She spent all her money. She was no better. She was actually growing worse. The discharge from her body also discharged her from society because she would be considered ceremonially unclean. She'd be banished. She couldn't go out in public. She could never touch someone. Nobody could ever touch her because that condition of uncleanness was always transmissible. So she couldn't have people over the house. They couldn't sit in her chair. None of that could happen. She was an outcast because of this. But the Bible says when she heard about Jesus, and we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, when she heard about Jesus, something rose up in her and she decided to break all the rules and leave the house and get out into that crowd. And there was a great crowd. She had to press through the crowd and she had to touch people, making them all unclean as she goes until she touches the fringe, the hem of Jesus' garment. But there's a detail in that story that sometimes we forget, sometimes we miss. It's easy to gloss over, and I want you to see it today because it's the reason why she broke all the rules. It's the reason why she got out of the house and went and touched Jesus. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 28, it says there, she had said. Now the word said there is in the imperative active indicative, which means really it should have been translated, she kept saying. She kept saying. Say that with me. She kept saying. She kept saying to who, by the way? To herself. She kept saying to herself, if I can just touch his clothes, I will get well. So here's the question. What do you keep saying to yourself? What do you have on replay? What do you have on continuous loop? Because rather than saying to yourself, well, you know, I'm so stressed out. I'm burnt out. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how much more of this I can take. This is just too much for me. Instead of saying that, why don't you keep on saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Why don't we just keep on saying, Lord, you're sufficient for me. Lord, you are more than enough for me. Lord, you are my provider. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. You are my righteousness. You're a very present help in the time of trouble. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. You are with me always. Therefore, I am at peace. I can make it. I can press on. I can press through. I can get to the other side. I can rest in you because I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. Guess what? I can do this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now notice, it says here, don't just bless him or praise him or give him thanks or extol his virtues or magnify his goodness. Don't do that half-heartedly. Let me say that again, especially because the response and the amens were so deafening when I said that I couldn't hear myself think. So I just want to say it again. You don't do this half-heartedly. You don't do this halfway. This is not to be done half-baked. You don't just do it outwardly. How many of you know God is not looking for some sort of external, superficial acknowledgement? This is not just a little add-on to our lives. This is not just a little compartment that every now and then I think of it, maybe Sunday morning, you know, I might give him praise. That's not what this is. Notice that the exhortation is remarkably comprehensive. This is not lips only. You remember Jesus lambasted the Pharisees and called them whitewashed sepulchers because they were clean on the outside. They looked clean externally. He said, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. And here's why. He said this. He said, because this generation worships me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We could say amen, ouch, oy vey, or ay chihuahua, right? My goodness. Oh, This is not just lip service. This is not just hands. This is not just eyes. This is all of the above and then some. This is with the soul. His very self, his true self, his essential self. This is with his personality, with his core, from his heart of hearts, from his center. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. So he does it from his mind. This is intellectual engagement, absolutely. But he also does it from his will. So this is very intentional. He decides to do this. He directs himself. He focuses. But it's also from his emotions. Did you see it? So he's passionately plugged in. I said it in the first service. I'm just going to say it again. This is more than David cheering for his favorite team at a game at the stadium. Yeah, all of you are a little uncomfortable, so let's just go. No, this is my job, guys. This is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Okay, that's my job description in a nutshell. Guys, this has got to be more than guns up and Raider power. I'm going to try this side of the room, okay? I said, it's got to be more than guns up and Raider power. Yeah. A lot more. I've seen you at the game. I've seen you. You're nuts at the game. You have lost your mind at the game, right? You let it all hang out at the game. You lose your voice at the game. Raider power! Raider right? No, I've seen you. I have seen you. Yeah. And then you come to church. Oh, you're more fun than first service. Okay. And we can laugh. But y'all know much truth is said in jest. The exhortation is comprehensive. Oh, my, all that is within me. But here's why. The exhortation is comprehensive because how many of you know God's care is comprehensive? It's all inclusive. There's not anything in your life, spirit, soul, and body. There's not anything in your life, emotionally, intellectually, physically, materially, spiritually. There's not anything in your life that God does not have covered. I mean, this psalm is evidence of it, isn't it? And David's not just writing this. David's not just telling us what to, he lives this. And again, as he looks back at the end of his life and he writes a psalm like this, he's saying, this is what really matters. David lives this kind of praise. This Baruch Adonai, that's David. Do you remember when David first becomes king? One of the first things he does is he brings back the Ark of the Covenant. Right? The box that carries the presence of God, basically, with the angels touching here, the mercy seat, the glory of God, the gold that covers it, the stone tablets inside, the manna, Aaron's rod that budded this beautiful Ark of the Covenant that Harrison Ford had a heck of a time in Raiders of the Lost Ark getting, right? Well, David gets it, right? David gets it. And David brings it back to Jerusalem. It's a great story because the Philistines had captured it. By the way, the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant. And here's just a fun fact. Check this out in your Bible, especially King James Version. When the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, it was not a blessing to them. It was a curse to them. You know what God did when the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant? Check it out in your King James Bible. It says, and the Lord smote the Philistines with the emrods. With the emrods. That's King James. You know what that means? The Lord smote the Philistines with hemorrhoids. Yeah, it was not a blessing to them. All the Philistines are walking around like this, you know, passing around tubes of Preparation H. But anyway, that's a visual you didn't need. But anyway, you might be scarred. But But anyway, David gets it back, right? David gets it back. It's a great story about him bringing it back and where he rests it in the house of Obed-Edom, and everything that Obed-Edom has is blessed. And David says, it's got to come to my house in Jerusalem. And so when he brings it back, it's bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me time. And David, the king, decides to take off all his royal garments, and all he wears is a linen ephod, so a linen priestly garment. That's it. And he decides to dance before the ark. And he's spinning and he's whirling around and he's giving God praise, spirit, soul, and body, intellectually, with his will, with his emotions. He is passionately letting it all hang out before the Lord. And as he makes it into Jerusalem, his wife sees this. This wife was literally a trophy wife. It was given to him by Saul. It was Saul's daughter. Saul, who wound up becoming a terrible, demonized king. When David had a certain amount of victories, he gave David his daughter, Michal. And Michal and David had basically no relationship whatsoever. As a matter of fact, it seemed to be very, very competitive. And when David comes into Jerusalem dancing in this linen ephod, and he set us... Michal looks out the window, and when he gets in the house, Michal says to him, that was awesome. Oh, that was great. That was great. That's how a king should behave. That's how undignified a king should behave. Where are your kingly garments? How did you do such a thing? It's terrible what you did. And David looked right back at her and said, oh, no, you don't. That's in like a paraphrase. But he says, oh, no. He said, let me just remind you of something, sweetheart. I'm not your daddy. As a matter of fact, you read it. He says, matter of fact, the Lord chose me instead of your daddy. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he went there. He did. He went there. And then the response is so beautiful. Dear, you think I was undignified? And David says, in 2 Samuel 6, he says, and I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, my real self, my best self, my soul, that eternal part of me, my immortal self. Bless the Lord, my active self, my intense self, my impassioned self, thoroughly awakened, thoroughly enthused, born upward, resolute, with every sinew and synapse from my marrow. Bless, praise, magnify, mingle it with thanksgiving unto Adonai, my Lord and my God. My united, concentrated, entire being shall bless you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Say the last four words with me. Bless his holy name. Bless his name. Bless his character, his nature, his power, his glory, his name. I will bless your name. That you are my Father, that you are my King, that you are my friend, that you are my help, that you are Emmanuel, God with me. You are my comforter, my Savior, the lover of my soul, the one who loved me and gave yourself for me. Your name, your immutable name, your omnipotent name, your everlasting name, your majestic name, and of course, the name which is above all names, the name of Jesus. My soul will bless your name. Not so that you will be those things to me, but because you already are. Yes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Turn to the person next to you and tell him, forget not. Go ahead, tell him, forget not. Turn to the person on the other side and tell them, say, forget not. Forget not. They're a group of 30-year-olds. They were friends all their lives, and they wanted to get together for a little reunion, and so they were discussing where they might meet, go to a restaurant together. And so somebody in the group said, well, why don't we go to the Glowing Embers restaurant? Because, you know, it's a fun atmosphere. The waiters, the waitresses, they're young, they're kind of funny. Let's go there. And they all agreed. 15 years later, when they were all 45 years old, they talked about getting together again, and they wanted to go to a restaurant, and somebody said, well, why don't we go to the Glowing Embers? Let's go to the Glowing Embers because, you know, the food there is so good. And they thought, yeah, they all agreed. And so 15 years later, when they were 60 years old, they all got together and said, well, where should we go together to eat and have our little reunion? Somebody said, well, how about the Glowing Embers? Because it's private, it's kind of quiet. And then 15 years later, at 75 years old, they all got together and said, you know, let's get together, let's go to, where do you want to go? And somebody said, why don't we go to the Glowing Embers because it's so accessible and there's an elevator that can, if we want to sit on the second floor. And they all agreed. At 90 years old, of course, the group all got together and they said, you know, let's have our reunion and, you know, let's go to a restaurant together. Where should we go? And one of them said, why don't we go to the Glowing Embers because we've never been there before. And they all agreed. Forget not some of his blessings. Forget not a few of his blessings. Forget not your favorite blessings. No. Forget not all his benefits. In other words, remember, recall, ruminate, recollect. I like the word recollect because it's like recollect. By the way, this is how you make your life a living psalm. Remembering the goodness of God. The story where the children of Israel finally, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they finally make it into the promised land. The Jordan River splits this time, and they make it through to the land flowing with milk and honey. And so God says, now, after you walk through this river, I want you to come back into the river, and I want you to take memorial stones, and I want you to take 12 big stones. And I want you to make a pillar out of it. I want you to make basically an altar in the middle of the river. And the reason why I want you to do that is because I want you to remember that I brought you into the promised land. I want you to recall. I want you to recollect. I want to make sure that you remember that when you cried out to me as slaves in the land of Egypt, I heard you, that I was intimately aware of your situation. I knew your suffering. I heard and I responded. I want you to remember that. Put those stones in the river because I want you to remember that I delivered you out of Egypt and into this land of promise. I want you to remember that I sent plagues to set you free. I want you to remember that the death angel passed over to set you free. I want you to remember that I split the sea to deliver you. I want you to recall the cloud by day and the fire by night and the manna that I rained down on your doorstep and the water that came out of a rock and I turned bitter water into sweet just to give you drink. I want you to remember how now I split the waters again. I can do it again. And somebody in this congregation today needs to hear, God can do it again. I said, God can do it again. I want you to remember, you're going to live in houses you don't even have to build. I want you to recall the fact that you're going to have a harvest you never had to sow. Walls will come down for you. The sun will stand still for you. Now put these rocks in the river so that you remember, and so that you remember to tell your children and your children's children to recall, to ruminate, to recollect, to recollect your thoughts around my goodness to you. Amplified Bible says, forget not one of all his benefits. See, every arena of your life has been redeemed. Every faculty has been ransomed. Every facet of your existence has been emancipated. You already have it. The debt has been paid in full. Tetelestai, it is finished. You're an heir who holds the title deed to life and life more abundantly. So don't get it backwards. Maybe you've watched enough Christian TV or heard a Christian song somewhere or read a blog that told you to do something like, you know, well, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. And I think you got to say that a little bit more like a when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Right? Yeah, that's how you got to do that. And that's cute, but it's backwards. The blessings have already come down. Yeah. Heaven burst open and the treasure has been poured out 2,000 years ago. And it's yours for the taking. Every good and perfect gift, forgiveness is yours. Healing is yours. Restoration is yours. Deliverance from evil is yours. Peace is yours. Protection is yours. Provision is yours. Favor is yours. Listen to me. Your outward man may be perishing, but your inward man is being renewed day by day. On the outside, you might be getting older, but on the inside, you're getting younger. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Renewal, like the eagle. It's yours. Why? Because you're loved. You're accepted. You belong. Shalom is yours. Wholeness is yours. Security is yours. Nothing missing, nothing broken is yours. And it's his heart. See, it is God's delight to see you enjoying every single benefit, every single blessing, and every single favor that comes from his grace. Psalm 103, again, it's a prophetic psalm because all of this comes to you in the new covenant. All of this comes to you not because David sang it, but because Jesus did it. Yeah. It's because of the finished work of the Aleph Tav, the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's why he's in there. It comes because of his blood. And therefore, it comes to you. And so, when the light comes on and when the Holy Spirit illuminates, when that becomes a reality in your heart, it becomes kind of natural to prostrate yourself in praise. It becomes kind of natural to abandon yourself in adoration. It does. It comes kind of natural to have this unabated, unhindered, unashamed worship from every fiber of your being. Oh, I'll be even more undignified than this. I'll humble myself and he'll exalt me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So let him tinker. Right? Let him diagnose and prescribe, because he knows. He made you. Forget not. Remember, recall, recollect your thoughts around what he has already magnificently done for you. And speak it. Let it be your self-talk. Let it be your soul talk. Watch how dramatically wonderful your life will change.
Turning Point reaches people by teaching Jesus with creative excellence. If you would like to learn more about Turning Point Community Church and its ministries, visit us on the web at tpcconline.com. We're located on the northwest corner of 114th Street and Quaker Avenue in Lubbock, Texas. Our service times are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. Thank you for listening to today's message. Join us next week for another message that will change your world.